the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you. We come together to bring our needs to the Lord, to give thanks to God for the many ways we've been blessed, and to remember the needs of others, those who are suffering, those who are lonely, those who are grieving and ill. Let us pray. Draw near to your people, we pray, O Lord, and answer our prayers with unceasing kindness, that for those who glory in you as their creator and guide, you may restore what you have created and keep safe all you have made. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. The crowds heard of this and followed him on foot from their towns. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, and he cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples approached him and said, "This is a deserted place, and it is already late. Dismiss the crowd so that they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "There is no need for them to go away. Give them some food yourselves." But they said to him, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have here." Then he said, "Bring them here to me." And he ordered the crowd to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up the fragments left over, 12 wicker baskets full. Those who ate were over 5,000. The Gospel of the Lord.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
One of the things that the COVID crisis has spawned is its own terminology. One term that I've been hearing lately is the word staycation. For the uninitiated, it's when you can't travel for a vacation, so you create one at home. For some, that means simply developing the art of taking a nap, or holding a game night at home for the family using the old board games. The more ambitious have tried camping out in the backyard, or held a film festival of old home movies, or spent a week going around dressed like you were on vacation, in flip-flops and yoga pants and Hawaiian shirts, or for those discerning gentlemen, in plaid shorts with black socks. One parishioner who travels for a living finally found a use for all of those miniature shampoos and soaps he's been taking from hotels all these years. He placed them in all the bathrooms at his house and put up a sign that told his children what time checkout is in the morning. A number of years ago, a friend of mine went on a real trip to Ireland, and he visited all the tourist sites, and he kissed the Blarney Stone, and he stayed at bed and breakfast the whole time, including one way outside of Galway, where apparently they didn't get many tourists. The receptionist asked, "Do you want a room with a shower or a bath?" And thinking there might be a difference in price, he asked, "What's the difference?" She said, "Well, with the shower, you have to stand up." Getting away from it all might seem tempting, especially these days. But even in a good year, it's hardly ever easy. Galilee, where our gospel takes place, was a very difficult place to be alone. In an area that's smaller than Medina County, there were over 200 towns and villages. It was almost impossible to be alone. And yet being alone was exactly what Jesus had in mind. An essential part of this miracle of the multiplication of the loaves and fishes is the background to it. John the Baptist, his cousin, his precursor, had been put to death, and Jesus needed to get away to mourn that death. With so many people around, about the only place you could go was across the lake. But even that wasn't easy. The lake wasn't that large. You could actually see the other side from the opposite shore. And the crowds who knew where he was going arrived there before he did. It was here, the gospel tells us, that Jesus took some loaves and fishes and taught us a profound lesson about faith. We know this story. It is one of the most beloved in Scripture because it is one of the most revealing stories about the Lord. It tells us about his compassion. Though he was in mourning, though he was tired, though he was looking for a break, when he saw the crowds, Jesus' heart went out to them. His reaction was instinctively to help. It is a wonderful quality that Jesus had, and exactly the kind of Messiah you'd want to have. He had come looking for peace and quiet. But when he found this vast crowd who needed to see him, instead of complaining about the invasion of his privacy or his right to be alone, his reaction was one of compassion and care. In India, Christianity has been present, some say, since the time of the apostles, when St. Thomas is said to have traveled there. But it has always been a tiny minority religion. One author from Goa said, if Christianity is to succeed, its message has to be that God cares. He wrote, if I or any other missionary shows signs of restlessness or impatience when a visitor comes, whether Christian or not, if we give them to understand that we are hard pressed for time, or it was our lunch hour or a tea time, and we couldn't wait, then those visitors were lost to us. They never returned. Jesus never gave that impression because his priority was always that God cares. The other thing this story does is it reveals to us the place of his disciples in the work of the Lord. Jesus worked the miracle, but it was his followers who shared it. Again and again, we come face to face with this truth that lies at the heart of the church. William Barclay said, the disciple is helpless without Christ, but Christ is helpless without his disciples. If the Lord wants something done, if a child is to be taught, or a person comforted, or hope instilled, if it's going to get done, we are the ones who must do it. There was a woman named Melissa Bank who was diagnosed with cancer some years ago. And as you can imagine, her world was turned upside down. She had to deal with her own fears and those of her family and things you never think you're going to have to face. For her, chemotherapy was the big challenge. She said, during chemo, I was more tired than I had ever been. I didn't know how I'd answer the door or move from one place to another or do things for my kids. It was then, she said, that she discovered in a group of family and friends those who would see her through. It wasn't anything dramatic that they did. Nobody had easy answers. It was the little things, their focus on her moods and needs, knowing when to be there with her and when she needed to be alone, giving her the dignity of not treating her as a group of symptoms, but as a normal, full human being, the woman they loved. "I was too weak," she said, "so I borrowed strength from them." We borrow strength and we give it. That is the essence of hope. So often what keeps people from reaching out is not knowing exactly what to say or what we should do. But as anybody who has been there will tell you, when someone is struggling in their life, they may not remember a single thing you say, but they will always remember that you were there for them. We often think the big challenges of life are beyond us, that there's not much we can really do. But that's not true. There are those in our culture today who seek to multiply hatred and division. But we come with a different purpose and a different power to share the power of Christ, to multiply good, to extend his comfort, conciliation, and hope. We may not believe that we're up to that task. We may look at ourselves and what we have to give and think it's not enough. And that's when we enter into this story. We look up from our lives and we see the Lord standing by the shore before the hungering crowd. Only instead of lifting up a couple of fish and barley loaves, it is us he lifts up. And the miracle he performs is that he multiplies in us the power of God's grace, so that through us he might fill the deepest hungers of the human heart. Just as long ago in that far distant place, what a meal of loaves and fishes revealed to the people of that crowd. It wasn't the fish dinner that touched them. It was the experience of being touched by God's care. This is what it means to be Christian. We are the signs, the bearers of that care. Victor Hugo called hope the indispensable virtue and our surest link to God. Hope, he said, is the word that God has written on every human heart.
Oh, let all who thirst, let them come to the water, and let all who have nothing, let them come to the Lord with except for the Lord. And let all who seek, let them come to the water. And let all who have nothing, spend your life except for the Lord.
Be for your people, we pray, Almighty God, compassion and hope. Grant what we need. Strengthen us in our journey. Fill us with your love through Christ our Lord. Let us pray. We are sharing in your sacrament. Save us, O Lord. May it confirm us in the light of your truth. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go in peace to glorify the Lord with our lives.